you got to say F the police too, right? If you're going to say abolish ICE, you got to say abolish the police too, because they're all part of the same institution.
Do you feel like there was funds misspent?
Hell yeah. They stole our money, our platforms, and our good name. I don't want to run a nonprofit organization. I thought becoming a nonprofit would be stupid.
I think if the Epstein files have proved anything, it's that I think we need a little bit more street justice.
I hate to say it's always money, but it is. Look at how much money they spent to unseat Gascon.
I've heard a lot of like, there's no more political will.
Yeah, because the goals of politicians are to get elected and reelected, and they are bribed by police associations.
This button will allow you to undo a policy or undo a person. If you've ever been to a protest in Los Angeles, chances are you've probably seen my next guest. Dr. Melina Abdullah is a movement mother and also a proud soccer mom of three. She's a professor of Pan-African Studies at Cal State LA, a co-founder of Black Lives Matter Los Angeles, and on the board of directors of Black Lives Matter Grassroots. Please welcome Melina Abdullah. We're here 6 years after the murder of George Floyd. You're still out there at the No Kings rallies, which is wonderful. What do you say to people who are like, nah, the No Kings rallies, they don't do anything. You know, they're for libs. We're protesting, but we're not getting anything done.
Anti-Trump moment number one was very similar with the Women's March demonstrations, right? And I think Black Lives Matter Grassroots, we had to make a determination then in 2016. And when I say Black Lives Matter Grassroots, I mean at the chapter level. Mm-hmm. We were invited and we made a determination, and it wasn't easy. There were people who were saying, you're getting on a stage that, you know, there's Zionists on that stage, right? And there were people who are aligned with us who said, don't get on the stage. And we had conversations across chapters, but also in Los Angeles about, well, what does it mean if a million people are coming out? What can you do from that stage? And so the determination that we made is it's a big stage. And we can say what we want to say from the stage. So let them be liberal and let's tell them why liberalism is not the answer to fascism. And so that's the approach we've taken since 2016, is saying we're not liberals, right? We're saying the answer to fascism is really abolitionist, right? That we want to abolish rather than kind of reform. And so that's what we've done with No Kings. We do it here in LA, but also there's chapters in Atlanta and other places that are Birmingham that have been participatory in the No Kings demonstrations. And I always say my litmus test is my mother. So when my mama and my baba are out at the No Kings demonstrations as 80-year-old retired school teachers, Black retired school teachers, and they think it's important, then that's a place I need to be. The No Kings rallies, and this is not to shade them, but they're put together by people who are new to organizing.
Yes.
And so the first one, we had some real challenges for them because they used LAPD. There was a targeting of one of our brothers who was a vendor.
That's right.
And we had to challenge them and say, you know, it's a parade if you're asking police for permission to do a protest. We were able to move them here in Los Angeles, and I understand some other cities also moved where they don't get permits for their marches anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel like even with politicians, we always start by saying what we want, and maybe we'll get it. And so we've been able to move and engage in some of the work of political education with them. We want to do that. Our job is not to make enemies. We want to build a mass movement. And so if we can bring people over, that's great. And then there's some people who aren't going to come over, who want to stay liberal, who, you know, you see them marching, right? Who have signs that say, if Kamala were president, we'd be having brunch now, right? And, you know, we're not going to win them to our position, which is we are abolitionists, right? But there's going to be some, because you're talking about rallies of hundreds of thousands of people, that we win over to our side. So one of our fiercest allies, we actually were able to turn Alex out at the first Women's March. And she's been one of my best friends and co-conspirators ever since, white woman who's in White People for Black Lives. So we're going to get some of the people to come to us.
Yeah.
And so that's our goal. We know we're not going to get everybody.
When it comes to being an abolitionist, I feel like the case gets a little bit easier now that people are saying, abolish ICE. ICE should not exist. And that feels, especially even for liberals who might not identify as abolitionists, that feels like a very easy thing to say. Like, okay, abolish ICE, this reckless young organization. I can go there with that. Tell me about, you know, this moment, right? You obviously co-founder of the Black Lives Matter movement here in LA and now founder of
Black Lives Matter Grassroots.
Black Lives Matter Grassroots. Thank you. We have Trump back in office and we have federal agents running amok on people, kidnapping them, detaining them, all kinds of atrocities. And they are kind of the this militarized police force. Draw this through line, or how do you see the work that BLM has always done around racial justice and around reining in cops and or eliminating them? How do you see this political moment connected to what began in 2014?
Sure. So Black Lives Matter Grassroots started, and we started as a grassroots movement. That's why we have grassroots at the end of our name against, you know, there's a Black Lives Matter that has been hijacked, that's being run by people who've never been a part of a movement, right? Mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter Grassroots is the original, right? So Black Lives Matter Grassroots started right here in Los Angeles, July 13th, 2013. Many of us poured out into the streets after Zimmerman was acquitted in the murder of Trayvon Martin. And we started as we were just regular people.
Yeah.
I'm just a mama and an educator. That's it, right? We had no money. We had a bullhorn, right? And that's what we did, is organize ourselves. And really the first intentional meeting came July 16th, 2013. Mm-hmm. When we came together and said, well, our job is to build a movement, not a moment, because Trayvon is somebody who, yes, was killed by white supremacy by a wannabe cop, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's not the first, right? Here in LA, we lost a young boy. A young boy's life was stolen, named Devin Brown. Had been stolen when he was just 13 years old. We can think about unhoused folks like Margaret Mitchell. We had Taisha Miller. And so this is going to continue to happen unless we transform systems.
Mm-hmm.
So Black Lives Matter Grassroots, Black Lives Matter in its truest form, always existed as an abolitionist organization, but one like abolition that continues to grow. Like, as really, abolition means that you're a revolutionary organization. You don't mean to simply tinker around edges of fundamentally unjust systems. Let's talk about how policing comes from slave catching.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been ridiculous to say, oh, reform the police. I mean, reform slavery.
Right.
Well, you can't say reform a vestige of slavery either, which is policing. You have to undo it and you have to build something else. And what's always been true for us is Black people keep each other safe. And so that's what we began as, and that's what we hold true to, right? And we learn as we go. We continue to fight and struggle under that understanding, recognizing that these systems of policing, economic systems like capitalism, right?
Yeah.
The way in which we educate or don't educate our young people, right? All of those systems require transformation. And that's what we mean when we say abolish.
How are you drawing these parallels then to what ICE is doing and to what the cops have always been doing?
Here's something that ICE does. It makes it really apparent how absolutely evil they are. Like, in a way, Trump is a gift. I'll say it that way. Trump is a gift, because what happens under Biden, what would have happened under Harris, what happens under, you know, slick-haired Gavin Newsom, is they're smiley, shiny things
mm-hmm.
that don't give you a middle finger to your face. And so people find it difficult to say they gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But Trump is disgusting. in every way. He's a rapist, right? Mm-hmm. Trump is, you know, a racist. Mm-hmm. Trump is, if you thought you liked capitalism, you're now rethinking it, right?
True.
So Trump can be a gift. ICE can also, I mean, and I know that the bodies that have been harmed, the people who've been harmed, I've had the great honor of being in communication with Renee Good's family and the greatest honor of organizing alongside Keith Porter's family. Mm-hmm. Keith Porter's family are members of Black Lives Matter Los Angeles and have been doing work with us for many years before Keith Porter was killed. Keith Porter, you know, but just was the first American citizen to be killed by ICE, and he was killed on New Year's Eve here in Los Angeles. Black father, worker, his mother's only son. To honor their spirits means recognizing that ICE is also a moment when the world is cracking open. Nobody can watch what happened to Renee Good.
Mm-hmm.
Her brains be blown out on camera as she's speaking nicely
mm-hmm.
to these ICE pigs, right? Nobody can watch what happened to Alex Pretty.
Yeah.
And not be absolutely enraged, right? And so ICE makes it so stark, like how can you watch this little boy, Liam, right, be taken from his parents and not go, oh no, there's no redemption for them. There's no redemption for them. They have to go. So yeah. abolish ICE that people are latching onto also offers an opportunity for us to say, abolish the police, right? So ICE is in parentheses. ICE is a part of a system of policing. And so, you know, we say wholeheartedly, abolish ICE. And you know, I cuss a lot, but my mama hates it, right? If you're going to say F ICE, you got to say F the police too, right? If you're going to say abolish ICE, you got to say abolish the police too, because they're all part of the same institution. But a lot of people are now willing to say abolish ICE.
I don't think it's insignificant that Renee Good and Alex Pretty are white.
Oh, of course.
And I also, especially with the murder of Alex Pretty, there were 6 men subduing him. They took his gun away, but he did have a gun. I can't
it's
help
but- It's also Minnesota where that's absolutely legal. Right.
Absolutely legal. And yes, of course, it's partly because they're white, he's white. But I feel like we've had so many videos of Black people in very similar circumstances.
That's right.
And the refrain is, but he was resisting. But he provoked them. But he drew his gun. We don't know where his hands were. And granted, by the way, we are in a moment where we do not have a full, autopsy of what went down. We don't understand. There's no independent investigation into Alex Pretty's murder. There's no real investigation into it, to say nothing of independent. Yeah, how do you make sense of that? Because I feel like because they're white, we're having a different conversation.
Yeah.
Or is it because we're so fucking tired of having the conversation of what he did to me. What's the video that happened before all this? Give me your take.
They're still doing that. As Black people are being killed by police, they're saying, well, what did he do? I mean, if you look at the difference in how Alex Pretty is spoken about, who did have a gun.
Yeah.
And how Keith Porter is mostly not spoken of,
mm-hmm.
but when he is spoken of, they're speaking about him as if he was an armed suspect. In fact, DHS called him, an active shooter.
Right.
An active shooter. This Black man who allegedly, we don't even know if their accusations are true, right? Went outside during New Year's Eve and shot a celebratory shot in the air.
Right.
That's nobody's, you know, a threat to nobody. You may not like it. Right. And it might be something that is technically criminal. But if we think about what happens all around this country on New Year's Eve, lots of people are firing shots up in the air. He's treated drastically differently than Alex Pretty is. And most people I still see, I've sent messages to the mainstream news folks that I know mm-hmm. and said, why are you talking about Renee Good and Alex Pretty and not talking about Keith Porter? We've assembled packages to send to them. You know, Keith Porter was, I mean, as much of a model as you could have. He was working multiple jobs. So his daughter is a college student. What else can you ask for?
Yeah.
Right? He was a model, but still, when Black people are killed by police, the question is always, well, what do they do? What did they do?
Let's talk about Black Lives Matter and sort of the moment that we're in now also, because it has really fallen from the headlines. The corporations now under Trump's anti-DEI policies don't feel pressured to even give a hat tip to their, you know, the Black stories on Amazon Prime.
Also, like, own mainstream media now.
All of his friends own mainstream media. Right. They think that's been enough representation. So even on a very surface level of what BLM accomplished, which was, you know, only just a, again, the visibility and inclusivity being just a fraction of a broader movement and more and other gains, people aren't talking about it as much, right?
Right.
And I don't think that's because there's been a lack of police killings.
The highest number of people killed by police happened in 2025, right? It also is not because we're not organizing. Black Lives Matter on the ground, Black Lives Matter grassroots, is the largest we've ever been. Mm. 51 chapters around the country. Active, right? You see us at the demonstrations, right? But even beyond that, our people's budget work, the policy work, the work that we're doing in schools, our Charleston chapter just confronted the white owners who still own a plantation.
Oh, geez.
7,000 acres and said, no, you're giving this back to the Gullah Geechee people, right? There's still work moving, but it's not being covered. And, you know, that's by design. And so we just make it so people have to see it. If the white supremacist capitalism is not going to lift up those who are countering it, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to put us in the headlines because they don't want us in the headlines.
You know, in 2023, there was a Pew study that said 51% of Americans support BLM, which was down from 70% after George Floyd was murdered.
Right.
You know, we sort of see that every single year. The support for BLM dips. What's your response and what do you attribute that to?
There was a deliberate effort to sully BLM's name, right? So when that first one came out where the approval rating was in the 70s, I think the only thing that Black people believed in more than Black Lives Matter was Barack Obama, right?
Yeah.
And that's dangerous to the establishment. So there was a deliberate effort to sully BLM. I think that there has been a mischaracterization of what Black Lives Matter is, and there was also the hijacking of Black Lives Matter